You are listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I'm Pastor Jimmy, and I want to thank you for tuning in to this week's sermon lesson. We are located in Orlando, Florida, and we're so glad that you are listening in on us and hope and pray that these next few minutes will be intellectually informative, spiritually enlightening, and altogether life-changing. Thank you again for listening in. Today our sermon is Prophecy versus Tongues. Prophecy versus Tongues. We're only going to do the first five verses of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. It's going to be a short message today, I think short, because of where the break is and how Paul transitions to the next thought. And so these first five verses are going to be very important that we understand what he's saying before we move on to that additional thought that he's going to give us as he brings us through this understanding of prophecy and tongues. So let us prepare ourselves as we hear the word today, open our hearts and our minds to God's truth and see what he has to say to us. Again, 1 Corinthians 14th chapter, verses 1 through 5 says, "Pursue love and be eager for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. The one speaking in a tongue does not speak to people but to God, for no one understands. He is speaking mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be strengthened." So that the church may be strengthened. Prophecy versus tongues. Prophecy versus tongues. The first verse is key. It says, "Pursue love and be eager for the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." And Paul starts us off with another focus verse. Verse 1 is used to help us to remember and bring our minds in tune with the context of the subject. Remember what we know now. We know that love is the greatest of these, which are faith, hope, and love. Love is greater than faith, and love is greater than hope. And faith, hope, and love are the top three of the spiritual things or gifts that we have in the right now as we eagerly await the perfection to come. Faith, hope, and love are here for us until the perfection comes. And the greatest of these is love. And so the question is this: why is love the greatest over faith and hope? It is the greatest because it is what makes us like God. God is love, and to be like God, we must love like God. It is the greatest because love is eternal, while faith and hope are temporary. It is the greatest because faith and hope comes from love, while love comes from God. Love is the greatest because it is the foundation of all relationships, and with it, all relationships can stand any test and any demand. Love is unchanging and will be the same now, then, and forever, while faith and hope will go from being filled to fulfilled. And once faith and hope is fulfilled, when the perfection comes, then they will no longer remain. In other words, in the eternal, in the final state of eternal existence, no one will hope and no one will have faith. But all will have the perfect God-type love. The hopeful assurance of things to come would have come. The faith and trust of the promises to be would have been. So the only one remaining is love. So now, the greatest of these in the here and now is love. So with that understanding, Paul says, pursue love and be eager for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. This command is to pursue love is a present active indicative, meaning that it is a command for the believers, the members of the local church everywhere, to do it and to do it continuously. We are to make love our aim in all that we do. We must make love the motivation of all our spiritual actions. All the work that we do must have love as its center focus. We want more of the working of the Spirit to manifest in the church. Paul says, let that be your desire, your longing for, and even your envy of, that the spiritual working or the spiritual gifts be evident in the church, especially the spiritual work of a prophecy. That we, the people of Proclamation Church or of New Hope Church or whatever church you attend, that we are motivated by love and desire the spiritual gifts to be revealed in our congregation, especially the gift of proclaiming God's word. So why does Paul single out prophecy as the one that is more evident than all other spiritual gifts? There must be a reason why prophecy is commanded to be the more evident and prevalent in the church over all other spiritual gifts. There must be a reason. And that takes us back to chapter 12, verse 31, where Paul left us hanging and waiting for the gifts that were identified as the greatest for the church. Verse 31 in chapter 12 says, but you should be eager for the greater gifts. And now I will show you a way that is beyond comparison. In chapters 12 and 13, Paul showed us the way that was beyond comparison and the gifts that were the greater. The way is the way of love, which by far has no comparison. And the greater gifts are the gifts whose ministry outworking is permanent, salvific, and eternal. These are the ones that where ministry is done. They are the permanent ones. They are the ones that bring salvation, and they are the ones who are everlasting. And those were the ministry offices where power is always present and not scarcely present at the will and the pleasure of God. However, today, Paul is going to identify the greatest of all the gifts and bring light to it in comparison to what some call the least of the gifts, which are tongues. Verse 2 says this, for the one speaking in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands, he is speaking mysteries by the Spirit. And the gift that the Corinthians considered as the greatest must have been the gift of speaking in tongues. Just from the very fact of how we read the text and how Paul is speaking to them, almost in a reprimand, we can kind of see that they probably, or even most definitely, saw that the gift of tongues was the greatest of the gifts. And I believe that this is why Paul compares it to the true greatest gift, which is prophecy. Paul says that the one speaking in a tongue is speaking to God and not to people. And this is the unintelligible spiritual language and sometimes referred to by the Corinthians a heavenly language. Biblically, they are both foreign languages and spiritual languages. In Acts, the disciples miraculously spoke in a foreign language that was known by the hearer. In this case, in the case of 1 Corinthians, this is a spiritual language in which the people in the service of worship did not understand what was being said. It is a language that is personal, and it is used to communicate with God, and only God knows what is being said. And this qualifies it as the least of the gifts because it is not salvific for the unbeliever. It is not inspiring or edifying for the believer. It is an individual, personal, and selfish gift used only to communicate to God. It adds no value to the worship service and the attending believers because this was a heavenly and mystical manifestation of the Spirit of God. The Corinthians placed high regards on those who possessed this gift. But Paul says that it has no inspirational or edifying value to anyone. Not even to the one speaking it. However, this is not the case for prophecy. Verses 3 and 4 says this, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. Paul uses the strict contrast and says, but the one who prophesies speaks to people. And this is a huge difference from the gift of speaking in a tongue. Unlike the tongue, prophecy is for the strengthening, encouragement, and consolation of those who hear the message. The hearer of a message of God spoken by the spirit of inspired preaching understands the message and is built up and strengthened, encouraged, and comforted. This entire gift is for those hearing the message, including the one gifted to proclaim it. So Paul writes, the one who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. In other words, speaking in a tongue has no value for the members in the service of worship, but speaking prophetically has salvific, eternal, and communicable value to the church. Where there is prophecy, there is spiritual possibility. And where there is a tongue, there is none. There is only the selfish building up of the individual speaking in tongues. So what is the application for us in hearing this portion of the message? Think about this. Is this something, as we look at this, is this something that needs to be heard by the believers in the church today? What we just heard, just those few verses, is this something that needs to be heard and understood by the believers in the churches today? Are most of the believers today, like the Corinthians, and place high regards on those who have the gift of speaking in tongues? And if the church really understood that the tongue speaking brings no value to the worship service, do you believe that we would cease from speaking in tongues during the worship service or any church gathering? Like the granddaughter said to the grandmother when she heard her speaking in a tongue during their time of prayer, "Oh, Grandma, that is just silly." What she meant was that was just uninspiring and valueless for her during that time. In Paul's appeal to that local church in Corinth, Paul says this in verse 5. He says, "I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in a tongue, unless he interprets so that the church may be strengthened." Verse 5 is Paul's outworking of chapter 12, verse 31 and 14:1. Here he expresses to the believers his eagerness for the greatest gift, and he identifies the gift as the gift of prophecy. Paul says, "I wish you all could speak in a tongue, but even more than that, I wish you could prophesy." In other words, Paul prefers the intelligible over the unintelligible. He prefers the valuable over the valueless. Paul prefers the other-centered over the self-centered. The entire congregation over the individual selfish congregant. Paul desires to encourage over discourage, to build up versus puff up, to console versus confuse, to be sensible and not be silly. Thus, the one who prophesies is greater than that one who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be strengthened. The motive is love and desire for the gift of the Spirit to be revealed in the local churches, especially the gift of proclaiming the word of God. The motive is love. And the desire is for the gifts of the Spirit to be revealed in the local churches, especially the gift of proclaiming the word of God. Why? Because it is salvific, eternal, and communicable. It saves, it sanctifies, and it shares. It saves the unbeliever from death and damnation. It saves the lost from losing their souls. It sanctifies the believer and lights up the light on the path of righteousness. It shares this blessing of truth with others so they too can enjoy a restored relationship with God, the God of love. So what? So eagerly desire that the church, this local church called Proclamation, or whatever church you belong to, will reveal the gifts of the Spirit through the motivation of love. That we would desire and ask God, listen to me, that we would desire and ask God to allow the gift of wisdom and knowledge by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. That we would desire and ask God to allow the gift of faith by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. That we would desire and ask God to allow the gift of healing by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. That we would desire and ask God to allow the performance of miracles by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. That we would desire and ask God to allow the gifts of prophecy by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. That we would desire and ask God to allow the gift of discernment, discerning of spirits, by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. And even that we would desire and ask God to allow the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues by the Spirit of God to be revealed in Proclamation Church. And finally, we desire and ask God to allow the greatest gift of prophecy to reveal itself the most in Proclamation Church so that salvation may come to the unsaved, growth and spiritual maturity may come to the saved, and together we may both live righteous lives and spread your word to the world. We ask this. We ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. I stop here today. Because these are the instructions concerning the greatest gift versus the least greatest of the gifts. And the remainder of the passage pertains to the structure concerning the gift and their usage in the church. So that's our word for today. And so let us pray. Father, thank you for this message that you've given us concerning the greatest of all gifts. Not a gift that we hoard, but a gift that we share. Not a gift that we desire over the gift that you've already given us through the Holy Spirit, but a gift that we pray that through the church is more prevalent than any other gift. We do pray, as we just pray, that all the gifts are relevant, are revealed, that all the gifts are prevalent in the world today through the church. That every one of these gifts will be shown forth so that your name will be praised, that your power can be seen. But we come, God, and asking that the greatest of all these gifts be the one that prevails itself even the more from this church. And that is the gift of prophecy. God, we ask that the ability of the inspired word of God may go forth from this church, that we may be able to proclaim your truth and foretell the news concerning a coming of Jesus Christ, coming back for the second time for those who are already saved, that we might be able to proclaim this word of the gospel to tell diamond and women that if they but just believe in Jesus Christ, that they can have eternal life. We come today, God, asking you and begging you to allow the manifestations and the revelation of your gifts to surface and be shown in the world through this little church called Proclamation Church, through the individuals that you, through your Holy Spirit, have gifted with these individual gifts, that you've given us this charisma that allows us to go out and show forth the servitude of these works of ministry, and that your power may be revealed as you bring forth the results in the world, the results of healing those who are sick, the results of performing miracles of things that should not happen. The results of all of the discerning of the spirits that are all around us, that we might be able to know the right from the wrong, the one that is true and the one that is false. All these gifts that you've given us, the gift of faith, the gift of understanding, the gift of proclaiming your word through prophecy, and even, God, the gift of speaking in tongues. And when we do that in amongst the gathering of people, that gift would be accompanied by the interpretation of tongues, so that truly the prophetic word would not be known, and everybody would be blessed based on what they hear. And so we thank you, God. We praise you. We magnify you. We ask all of these things through your Son, Jesus Christ. And for his name's sake, we pray. Let us all say amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Proclamation Church. I am Pastor Jimmy, and it is my hope and prayer that the sermon lesson has opened your eyes to the truth of the Scriptures and that you are able to apply its meaning to your life. Thank you, and may God's love continue to shine on you. Stay safe and tune in again.